month across much of North America to celebrate the return of migratory birds from the tropics. Orioles, tanagers, buntings, cuckoos, and many more wing northward. But of all those coming back, it's the warblers that many eagerly await, like the oven bird, whose song we're hearing now. The warblers stand out as our most fabulous array of avian jewels. Like true gems, most are miniatures, around 5 inches long. And of the more than 50 species that brighten our spring, many gleam like precious stones. These birds dazzle us, from the glinting ornaments of the golden-winged warbler to the sky blue of the cerulean warbler. Nesting from southern wetlands to Arctic willows, species of warblers fill many niches, from fly-catching from the tallest trees to dwelling on the ground. And some of the warblers' names are unforgettable. The painted redstart. The prothonotary warbler, perhaps the brightest gem of all. And the worm-eating warbler. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Recently, CJSF did a report of a workshop that was hosted at Simon Fraser University by the Worker Solidarity Network. The goal of the workshop was to inform students that attended of their labor rights as stated in the BC Employment Standards Act. Despite the workshop going over 2 hours, there was still much to talk about regarding labor rights for those who attended. And after the workshop, we spoke with someone who attended, Steph Ling, a PhD student in sociology at SFU. Steph Ling is also part of an initiative being taken on by the SFU Labor Studies Program, the SFU Student Worker Center Initiative. The SFU Student Worker Center Initiative is currently being developed, with the end goal of the initiative being to create a space for SFU undergraduate students to get information on their rights as workers. To learn more about the SFU Student Worker Center, we sat down in studio with Steph Ling, as well as John Henry Harder, a lecturer in labor studies and history at SFU, who is helping to lead this initiative. Please take a listen to our conversation.
So the Student Worker Center Initiative is pretty much as it sounds. It is an initiative of the Labor Studies Department and the Morgan Center for Labor Research, which is part of Labor Studies, to create a space for student workers. And I'll expand on that a little bit. If you come to SFU, or really if you go to any university, let's say across North America, but probably globally, I'm just not sure, you'll find a whole bunch of centers for whatever your identity is. And we all have multiple identities. So here you can go to SOCA, you can go to the Women's Center, First Nations and Métis and Indigenous Students Center. But one of the identities that we, and by we I actually mean like the university, not individuals, the university doesn't recognize students outside of their identity as students, and by that I specifically mean their class position. So over the years, I've been teaching at SFU for over 20 years, more and more, SFU always had a large number, large percentage of working class and working poor students, and that's only gotten bigger. So many of my students now don't just work 3 days a week. They have 20-hour a week full-time permanent part-time jobs, and even more and more literally have full-time jobs. For undergraduate students, easily 70%, because 70% of the Canadian population is not unionized. I would imagine it's higher for undergraduate students because of the types of work they do, retail, service sector. So let's say 70%+ of those students are not unionized, and way too many, I would argue, have no idea of their basic rights. Student Worker Center is a place for them to come hang out, but also for us to do workshops, do activism around student workers' rights and the rights of students in their role as members of the working class.
I'm curious as to whether there was like a catalyst or a specific instance that spurred the creation of this initiative in the first place. If you were hearing a lot of concerns from students not being aware of their labor rights or things of that nature that you could speak on.
For sure. And then next question Steph's going to answer, I promise. Yes, absolutely. The short answer is Kendra Strauss is the director of Labor Studies program here at SFU, and it was her idea. A couple of years ago, she said, I think we really need this for the reasons, and she's far more articulate than I am, but for the reasons I laid out, everybody in labor studies, all the faculty, recognize and talk about labor rights, labor activism. Kendra and I both teach Labor Studies 101, so we literally have the students who are coming to the basics, right? The 101 class. And yeah, we recognize that they didn't even, and I don't want to say they, some students and a good majority of students didn't even understand that their rights under the Employment Standards Act, which is just the basic bare-bone rights we have as workers in Canadian society. And I don't want to, and that's not a bad thing. Well, it is. It's an indictment of the K-12 education system in British Columbia, because we should know that. Rather than like carrying an egg around and pretending it's a baby, maybe we should learn about Employment Standards Act. But I digress. So we recognize this. But I do have students coming into labor studies that are like full-on Marxists and anarchists and communists and have this whole, like, they know their class. They're also welcome at the Student Worker Center, because I think that that mix of students who are saying, yeah, I work for a living, I want to talk to other students and how they navigate this dual identity and the multiple identities they have elsewhere, too. But for this space, we recognize that too many undergraduate students had no concept of their rights as workers.
Yeah, and even if you do have like some sort of general understanding, depending on what type of worker you classify as or what industry you're in, there can just be like so many different, not contradictions, but just exceptions that may not be like explicitly outlined in the Employment Standards Act as well. And I think that's a very important thing for students to know about. Another thing I was curious about, the physical space, if you could speak to that as well.
Oh. Well, the Student Worker Center initiative is not a physical space at the moment. We're trying to talk to some people in charge of spaces in the university in order to get one. But I think the space ideally would be like this kind of place where students can go and say like, hey, this is something I'm encountering at work. And we could say, that sounds illegal. So yeah, we could connect them with folks like the people that you met at the Know Your Rights workshop, like Worker Solidarity Network, or if they're unionized, we can offer them like just like a way to approach like whoever their reps are or whatever, like if, you know, maybe they're not super involved in their union or they don't know who their reps are, we can also explain like how the union structure works and things like that, right? So in the past, like I've done workshops about that specifically, actually, just like what like your union does for you, because a lot of people, maybe like even students working at like grocery stores or something like that, may be unionized, but they may not know what a union does for them or like what collective bargaining is and things like that. So we're definitely interested in just trying to create a space that's like welcoming for people to talk about what's going on for them at work, whether they're unionized or not.
And yeah, once it has been fully established, what sort of organizational structure will there be? Are there going to be like specific people employed by the initiative, or is it going to be people that are already part of the labor program at SFU? How will that work?
I mean, my understanding, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that there will be some, like a faculty person from labor studies who's doing like their service at the student worker center. So I think that means usually when you are released from courses, you conduct like some sort of work for the department that is not teaching. So there would be that person, and then there would be a paid position for student, an undergraduate student, to be present at the space and, yeah, receive training and share knowledge and, yeah, like facilitate some of the, you know, people who come in to do the workshops and stuff like that. So I've kind of been doing that role as an RA, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So right now, and we had a meeting. So Steph and I are working on this initiative together. And we had a meeting with someone from the university, and they talked about having to get back to their team, which is how university people talk. And the person was perfectly nice, but it struck us as funny for some reason, because there's just two of us. So we started talking about having team meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
But the ideal is that the team will get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had a space magically today, I would be like a advisor from labor studies to the student worker center. Steph would be an employee of the center. And we really ideally would love to have a position, how permanent full-time unionized work in the labor, in the student worker center is the ideal. So our priority is get space and then also work more on the funding model. But I do want to say, and Steph can elaborate on this, that we want to have a democratic structure within the student worker center, because I'm old and I have a permanent full-time job. So I don't want to dictate to a bunch of undergraduate student workers, you need to do this, you're going to do that, this top-down kind of thing. I want to step back once it's up and running, have kind of like a director of the who is, you know, closer to, it doesn't have to be an age thing, but closer to Steph's age and lived experience. She's way closer. I know you can't tell by looking at us because I'm so youthful looking. She's way closer to the undergraduate student worker experience than I am. But the people who come, we want to have a structure where they get to shape. What do they want to see? What workshops do they want to have? But honestly, getting the space, securing more funding is key. But we do want to ensure a democratic structure, really from the bottom up, with labor studies taking a back seat and making sure everything's running, but not dictating what's going on in terms of programming, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like for the students, but also by the students in a sense.
Totally.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had received, you know, in the process of creating this initiative, if you've received any feedback from students that particularly stuck out to you, like something that you may not have considered before, and now is something that like is very important to the initiative.
Our first event we did, some people thought there was a space already. So, you know, people who didn't come to that event thought that the space existed, so that then they contacted John Henry saying, hey, I have this problem at work. And John Henry, I think, of course, helped this person or like redirected them.
A couple
people, and redirected them to some people who could give them advice on their employment situation. But I think it really struck us that even if people don't come to our events, they still need the space to exist so that they can approach us with their employment situation, whatever it may be, right? So
totally.
It really put some like, it really kind of, I think, introduced more like, not pressure, but it was like more urgency to the space. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely. What I heard Steph say was really had a real impact on us, because I think everyone understands that we as people, as human beings, we know something is true. Like, you know it's true, but then, so we know that there's a lot of students who are workers, and they're being exploited at work. Because it's not just theoretical. Capitalism exploits workers. That's facts. Mm-hmm. And they will break the Employment Standards Act. They will pay under the table. They'll do... Some employers, just so everyone doesn't freak out that I'm saying all capitalists, although I do believe that, will cut corners when it suits their profit motive. But then to have, like, just an event, a pop-up event to talk about the Student Worker Center, have people emailing me with their problems with their bosses, reinforced that we needed it, mm-hmm. and showed us, yeah, we knew this was true, and it is true. And then also... we've been having meetings with different groups actually here in the Student Union Building, different equity-seeking groups that have spaces here, and they're all saying, wow, this is really important. Each group, so whether it's the Women's Center or SOCA or whatever, they have their members talking about their work situations, asking for advice, and they all have stated to Steph and I, we would love to have a place to say, hey, why don't you go here? And it's not, we're not going to be a legal clinic, but it would be a place where we're way more prepared to answer questions about employment, but also to do workshops and also activism around class and work issues than all the other spaces, because their plates are already full.
Yeah, maybe I'll just add that, like, as a TA in labor studies and in sociology, actually, we have several assignments where people write about their jobs. And I would love to be able to be like, wow, your job sounds really exploitative.
Yeah.
You know, from like a teaching standpoint, yeah. You know, just not only am I evaluating the quality of their work, I'm also like, they're being vulnerable with their experiences, and I would like to be able to, like, care for that, like, from the perspective of, like, an instructor or, like, a TA, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think something like that is a way for even instructors to direct their students if, like, these vulnerabilities are coming out in their assignments.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like, of course there are these other equity-seeking groups on campus that can support students, but, like, from my experience in TAing in sociology and in labor studies, it would just be a fantastic way to make the university more, like, fulsome, practical, like, experience for students, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to say the response from the few senior administrators I've met with has also been really positive.
Okay, I wanted to ask
I was going to say surprising, and so I misjudged these people that I was talking to who had the positive response and thought this was a really great idea. I went in thinking it was going to be a different experience, and I was pleasantly surprised. So that was good. A lot of the folks who we've interacted with and talked with have really stressed it from their own lived experience. International students in particular have talked about how if only this existed 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or for, you know, international grad students saying, this would have been really good that first year when I came over here mm-hmm. and took that job under the table that was paying me $5 an hour and I had no idea. So that's a really poignant reminder about how super exploited international students are, both by our university asking for three times the tuition fees from international students and by shady employers in our broader community who are exploiting international students' vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. Like, and vulnerabilities, I mean, like, visa requirements, mm-hmm. work requirements, lack of knowledge of the Canadian labor and BC labor codes and systems.
A lot of wage theft.
Of wage theft. And just simply underpaying and breaking, minimum Employment Standards Act stuff.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a big portion of the largest part of the resource initiative is filling that knowledge gap, giving students the ability to advocate for themselves that they may not have had otherwise, because even if something is against, just fully against the labor code transparently, like you said, a lot of these employers kind of bank on the fact that their employee may not have the awareness of it in the first place.
Yeah, totally. Steph and I are both nodding, but I realize that nodding doesn't come across well on radio or podcast. Yes, exactly, Danny. And the way in which we can't anticipate how powerful it will be for people to, particularly undergraduate students, let's say, to be in a room together, share their experience, and then they decide, what could we do about this with, you know, the director helping them. It goes back to your question of what do we envision in this space. That's the stuff we can't know. But in every experience I've had, you know, as a student very decades ago, all the spaces on campus, like the student newspaper, the radio station, the PIRG, we're all empowering spaces for not just whatever the person who created the radio station thought it was going to be, but for what the people who came and populated it and volunteered there, what they made it. And I'm excited to see that. But we realized we had to take these baby steps of, like, let's secure space and let's get funding. And we're getting a lot of traction for the idea, but I do want to stress at this point, it is still an initiative. Like, we are working towards this goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any initiatives, like, similar to this in other universities that you were able to sort of model off of?
Yeah, there aren't a lot. There are some in the United States of America that are broader workers' centers. So they, and then there's student solidarity center. There's a handful in the U.S. and there are things in Canada that kind of look like what we're doing, but they're larger initiatives that don't just do worker advocacy stuff. So they have committees. They'll have like a student worker committee. The closest thing is, in terms of analogies, is PIRG, but solely about class and workers and student workers. All the different groups, SOCA, Women's Center, those are really the best models for us, but with our very specific class-based orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's not a lot of student worker centers out there. And if you Google student worker center, so I did find some examples, but a lot of what comes up, unfortunately, are employment centers and student workers and...
like recruitment centers.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
One thing that's important to emphasize about the Student Worker Center is that, like, we don't have any relationship to anybody's employer.
Yes.
So, you know, even if you're a worker and you go to your union has a relationship to the employer. What the quality of that relationship is varies from union to union. But with the Student Worker Center, it is really a place for political education and empowerment and class consciousness,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of students, like, they come to school and we're all, like, class neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you can't tell who has, you know, a lot of material support to do their studies and get good grades and, like, get the awards and, like, the credentials and then go on to, like, you know, they have class mobility, right? And that's really something that's quite absent from even, like, classes where we're, like, reading, like, critical theory or whatever or what have you. I don't know what it's like in the sciences, but... Yeah, so I think it's like when people come to the Student Worker Center, ideally, you know, they're talking about their working conditions and they're able to meet other people who share those experiences, and that's a kind of class solidarity, even if we're not, like, you know, advertising that, right? So it's the kind of sociality that I think is really missing from, you know, like, SFU.
And it's, yeah, absolutely, Steph. And what I'm hearing you say, it's missing... at universities and colleges, but particularly universities, where when we started this interview, we talked about like what this is and how the idea came about. And it really is that there's a place for everybody's lived experience at university as students, but not as workers. The university itself doesn't want to recognize class. Like what I heard Steph say, there's this like assumed class neutrality, which, and this will take me off on way too much of a tangent, is a problem with Canadian society as a whole. We're all taught sort of de facto that we're all middle class, which is ridiculous. It's like, okay, and when you get down to it, what's middle class? Oh, it's if you have a home, or if you can afford cable, or you have a car. And it's like, okay, you're just talking about things. Like, it's not about the fact that a majority of Canadians are working class. Over 60% of Canadians are working class in terms of their income, but also power and agency in their lives and in their workplace. There's a small section of middle class, and then we have the capitalist class. But we're kind of taught, well, we're not taught about class, so everyone just assumes you're middle class. And in the classroom, if I have a student that's speaking up about their terrible working conditions, somebody else can put up their hand and say, oh, well, I don't experience that, and then go on to negate that student's lived working class or working poor experience. And as the instructor, I have to navigate that, right? I don't just shut the middle class or student whose parents are capitalists. I can't shut them down. But at a student worker center, that same student, like I could even say after class, like, hey, you might want to check this space out. And then they go and talk about their lived experience, and other people are like, yeah, man, mm-hmm. I experienced the exact same thing. So Student Worker Center can create solidarity amongst, we know, like when I was going to school, undergraduate, graduate, I knew that I was different from the students that had a lot of money, whose parents bought, I went to UVic for my undergrad. There were students whose parents bought condominiums, and this is in the 90s, so they must have made a killing on them later. Wow, in the 90s. I can't believe I just said that. Holy. Anyway, and their whole lives were completely different than mine. And we knew we were working class, but a lot of us didn't find each other because there was this assumed sort of middle class, like, oh, well, don't talk about that. And it's like, well, why not?
I think those were the main questions I had for this interview. If there was anything, though, that we didn't touch on that you want to mention that you think people should know about, what would that be?
I think that this is really exciting. Everybody we've talked to has been excited about this and sees the need. So that's really encouraging for us, I think, for our team.
Yeah, our team. Our team of two.
Once again, that was our conversation with Steph Ling and John Henry Harder, who are currently working together on the Student Worker Center initiative at SFU, which aims to provide a space for SFU students to get information on their rights as workers. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
Are you a fan of industrial and have been trying to find smaller artists? Have you only heard of Nine Inch Nails and are looking to get further into the genre? Maybe you're like that guy I met in my lecture who hadn't even heard of Linkin Park. No matter where you're coming from, Wire & Nerve is the show for you. 1 hour of all kinds of industrial, from Throbbing Gristle to Godflesh to Frontline Assembly and more. Tune in Monday 7 to 8 p.m. only on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby.
How much do you love this station? People dedicated to your community. News that directly matters to you. This station needs your support. Go to mycri.ca to find out more about the Community Radio Initiative, which will provide core funding for this station. At MyCRI, you will find an easy way to create an email that you can send to the politicians who need to hear your message. Just 5 minutes and a few clicks make a big difference. MyCRI.ca.
CJSF 90.1 FM would like to remind listeners that the following program is a repeat broadcast.
Is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the ancestral unceded territory of Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. Listen online at cjsf.ca or on a read option from Apple Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social